All right. Thank you, Mrs. Lemon. And thank you for, you know, folks, when someone is playing an offertory, I'm just going to go ahead and say this now, if that'd be all right. When someone's playing an offertory or singing a song, you know where we need to be focused? Right here. We need to be focused right there. We don't need to be talking. Okay? People put practice. They've taken time out to prepare this portion of worship to the Lord. And we ought to honor that service there. So I just thought I'd just throw that out there, and because we need to be focused, okay? We need to be focused. We need to be ready for worship. I'm afraid many of us come to church, we're not ready to worship. We're unprepared when we come. And so I hope you're prepared and got your heart open this morning. Now, two passages of Scripture I'd like for you to turn with me to. Genesis 3, Hebrews 13, if you would, please. Genesis chapter number 3. I'm just going to use Genesis chapter 3 and Hebrews 13 kind of as a foundation. We're not going to come back to these verses in the message, but I'd like to use them as a foundation, if I could, please, for the message. Genesis 3, Hebrews 13. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? Genesis 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you'll know this is Genesis 3 deals with the fall of man. Adam and Eve now have disobeyed God. They have now eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were told not to. They've disobeyed God. You know, his whole desire was to do nothing but create man and woman, have a relationship with them, to spend time with them, to love on them, and they returned that love to him. Well, because their eyes were opened in verse 7, verse number 8, the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, first of all, let me say this before we read on. They never ran from him before. They always fellowshiped. When they heard him walking in the cool of the day, they always ran to embrace that fellowship. You see, God every day would encounter man and woman and love on them, and they would walk together every day. Except this day, something was different. Sin now had entered into the heart of man. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? And hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now, I want to use that to kind of propel the message as you're turning to Hebrews 13. And my simple purpose of reading that is that Adam and Eve had an encounter with God in this portion, in this particular time in their life. God encountered them. God confronted them about what had happened to them in their life. And may I say to you, no, God wants to have an encounter with you also about what's going on in your life. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, I want you to notice this promise here. You've probably read it many times. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Now, I want to use these two portions of Scripture here, and I want to speak to you on this subject, close encounters of the divine kind. Okay? Close encounters of the divine kind. Now, Father, would you bless our time together this morning and open our spirits to what you have for us today through this message and through this service. And Father, I pray that you would move in such a way today that you would fill this room with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and that you would convict where conviction needs to take place. Would you prepare hearts where preparation needs to take place? And that those of us, Lord, that need to be confronted and have that close encounter of the divine kind from above in our life today to make some changes. Let that be the case. Have your way, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. When I was a young teenager, and many of you are about my age, about 30, 35. When I was a young teenager back in the 70s, there was a time, when UFOs were a popular thing of the day. Y'all remember that? Remember the UFO thing? Amen? You have to be about my age to understand that. Come on, Brother McCall, help me out here now. I need an amen from. Okay? Remember when the UFOs and, I mean, there was just all things happening and people were spotting UFOs everywhere and films were being released of these unidentified objects and being shown on national TV. I mean, they were showing them everywhere. Now, they found out, if you'll remember, that many of these were fabricated. And it was just a fad. It was a time. It was an era. It was a space and time to where these types of things were happening. UFOs had gotten so popular in that time that movies were beginning to spring up all of the time dealing with that subject. And people were so fascinated with this idea of UFOs, and they were so fascinated that there could possibly be life on other planets, that their curiosity sparked them to flock to these theaters all over the world. Y'all with me? Y'all remember this, don't you? Oh, I remember it quite well, because I was one of them that flocked to the theaters. The curiosity. We wanted to find out, is there life on other planets? Well, when I was an older teenager, one such film that came out, I believe it was in 1977, was a film called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Now, those of you nodding your head, you must be at least 40 plus. All right? Now, my aim today is not to give a movie review. All right? That's not my aim today. But what I would like to do is I would like to take that idea just for a moment and make a biblical twist and have a biblical twist to it and present to us some truth from Scripture. Because what we need today in America is a close encounter, but we need the close encounter of a divine kind in our lives and in our country today. That word encounter means a sudden meeting. An unexpected meeting, a general engagement. Well, the scientists tell us, and I wanted to check it out, make sure I understood what they meant by the third kind. You know, you have close encounters of the first, second, third, fourth, and they go on and on. Now, if you've had a close encounter of the fourth kind, that's when you get kidnapped by an alien. All right, so if you've been kidnapped by an alien, talk to me after that. I didn't want to go to the fourth kind. But they say that the third encounter, or the close encounter of the third kind, it's not only when you see a UFO, but when you actually, when there's actually a seeing or an observation of life or a being. And when you see that, that's where they came up with the idea of a third kind of a close encounter. Now, I'd like for us today to look at three close encounters, but of the divine kind. Now, there are a lot of divine kind of encounters in the Bible. We don't have time today to cover them all. So I want to kind of condense them to the book of Acts, if I could, this morning. And so if you'll make your way to Acts chapter 12, for the message, we're going to look at three men that had a close encounter of the divine kind. And I want to see what happened when the divine kind of encounter came into their lives. Now, folks, I want to say while you're turning there, you know that we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, just like he wanted to have an encounter and wanted to have an... And by the way, did you notice when he came to Adam and Eve, he came to them unexpected because he came in the cool of the day and he called for them and they went and hid themselves? May I say to you that normally when I found out when there's an encounter with God of the divine kind, he don't always announce when he's coming. He doesn't always announce when there's fixing to be an evaluation going on in my life. You know what he does? He just shows up. And the evaluation is underway immediately. In Acts chapter 12, there was a man by the name of Peter that had a close encounter, but it was of a divine kind. Now, if you notice in verse 1, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. In other words, he was planning on taking his life as well. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, it seems like that this situation that we're reading about right here seems quite impossible. Here's a man that's been arrested. He's been chained between two guards. And it seems like there's no way that he's getting loose unless there's an encounter. Unless there's an encounter of the divine kind that takes place. Now let's read on. Verse 7. Here's where the divine kind comes in. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, which is what God has to do for most of us to get our attention, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, listen, and follow me. Now listen to me very carefully, folks. Peter was bound by the king, put in chains, in prison, between two guards. You say, why did all this happen? Well, see, Peter kind of had a reputation. You say, what kind of reputation, preacher, did he have? He kind of had the reputation that God was for him. He kind of had a reputation that had preceded him into prison, that he was the kind of guy that God showed favor to. So I'm sure this word got around, so he says, well, I'll just show this guy. He's not getting released. He's not escaping today. So he bound him with chains, two guards, put him in the prison. And I'm sure Herod thought, well, let's see what happens now. Well, I just want to say, first of all, that when you have a close encounter of the divine kind that Peter had, there's no problem too big for God. I said, there's no problem too big for God. You see, some of you here are here this morning. You hadn't laughed, you hadn't sung, you hadn't done nothing since you've been here. You know why? Because you think your God ain't big enough to deliver you out of your problems. Can I say to you today, listen, you didn't have a bigger problem than Peter had. He was in prison, chained, bound, and could not get himself out until God showed up. And I'm just here to tell you today, you know what the whole gist of this message is? You needed an encounter with God. And I think the reason that some of our faith is lacking today is because some of us have never had an encounter with God. Some of us have never had a divine, I'm talking about a divine encounter, face-to-face, unexpected meeting with God. Face-to-face with Him. Well, Peter was in prison. It wasn't no problem for God. So what? He was chained to two guards. So what? He was in prison. So what? Herod put him in there. I just want you to know there's no problem too big for God. May I say, number two, there's no situation too difficult for God. You know how many times I've heard, well, preacher, you just don't understand my situation. Well, the good thing about it is I don't have to understand your situation because I can't help you a whole lot, but there's a God in heaven that can release you from whatever you're bound to. Sometimes I'm afraid we look to men way too often for our problems when we need to look to a divine God, when we need to look to an encounter of the divine kind in our life to help us to get through the situation. Say, oh, preacher, I'm hurting. I understand. I've hurt too. You say, oh, preacher, I'm telling you, I feel like it's just, I'm so stressed out. Everybody's been stressed out. You know what God specializes in? Stress therapy. Yeah, He specializes in stress therapy. And He knows how to get you out. Listen, you can come sit in my office. I can talk to you and show you some scripture. You may leave and say, man, I'm still stressed. It's because, folks, listen, I don't have any power to release you from that. But there's a God in heaven that does. And what we're looking for is we're looking for an encounter with men when we need to have an encounter with God. That's what we need. And so Peter is bound by chains. No problem too big for God. No situation too difficult for God. Oh, look at this now. Nobody can stop God from accomplishing His purpose. Hey, can I say, folks, this morning, God wasn't done with Peter yet. You say, but he got thrown in prison and he got chained to guards. So, what does that matter? Some of you here today, you know what? You feel chained to something, don't you? You feel chained to a vice in life and you think, preacher, I've done everything. I've gone to counseling. I've gone to rehab. I've gone to this. I can't get over it. Have you tried God yet? Have you tried the encounter of the divine kind yet? Have you looked to the Lord to try to get released from your chains? You see, we look to books. We look to seminars. We look to men too much. Hey, what if Peter woke up in the middle of the night? He said, hey, bud. Loosen me up here. You know what that guy would have said? You're crazy. Did you realize my life's at stake? And by the way, if you go check me out, it did cost them their life. You said, well, it cost them their lives unjustly. Sorry, God had a delivery to make. You see, the thing about it is there's no problem too big for God, no situation too difficult for God, and nobody's going to stop God from accomplishing His purpose. Now, I found out in life, folks, let me give you just a quick tip for the road today. Don't get in God's way. You get in God's way, you're going to get run over. You say, did Herod get in God's way? We don't have time to go read it. He got in God's way later. God took him out. You know why? Because he was stinking prideful. Raised himself up as God. God says, you know what? I about had enough of you. And checked Herod out. Same guy that bound Peter and put him in prison. You see, the thing about it is Peter had a divine encounter with God and he delivered him from the problem, delivered him from the situation, and Herod wasn't standing in the way. Chains didn't mean nothing. Guards didn't mean nothing. If you remember the rest of the story, he was being prayed for by the people of God. The church was praying for him. Lord God, would you release him? Well, we know the rest of the story. Remember, God brought him out. He said, follow me. And God delivered him from the prison. He goes to where the church was meeting. Knocks on the door. Little old girl named Rhoda comes and said, who is it? It's Peter. Open up. Who? Peter! The one you're praying for. One moment, please. You ever had that happen to the kids? One moment. Goes back. She tells the church that's meeting there, the group of believers meeting there, say, listen, our prayers have been answered. Peter's at the door. No, that's just his ghost. That's just his ghost. He's already with the Lord now. That's what they thought. That's just his ghost. And you know what he kept doing? They finally let him in. They, oh, look here, God's still alive. Isn't that amazing? You see, the thing about it is not only did Peter have a close encounter of a divine kind, you know what the people of God experienced also? They likewise experienced an encounter with God. Their prayers were answered. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know what? You know how I feel when I see God answer a prayer that I prayed specifically and directly? I'm telling you, I almost have an out-of-body experience. You know why? Because I know that there's a God in heaven, for whatever reason, heard me. Peter had a close encounter of a divine kind. You see, God had a purpose for his life. Peter's purpose wasn't to be in prison. God had given him a message and a purpose and a command. But you know what it took to get him out? An encounter with the divine. That's what took it. That's what it took to release him from prison. Well, flip back a few chapters to Acts chapter 8. I want to show you another man. This man's name is, and by the way, I didn't plan this out, but all three of these men's names start with a P. But Peter had a close encounter of a divine kind. God delivered him from that situation. Why? Because he had a purpose. And you know what he wants to do with you today? He wants to deliver you today. He wants to free you today. So, but why? Because he has a purpose for your life. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to be entangled again with the affairs of this life. Well, Acts chapter 8. It's a man by the name of Philip. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. By the way, you know what he was? Philip was what we would consider today as a common, as far as in the church here, we would commonly call a deacon. Amen, deacons. He was a deacon. By the matter of fact, if you go back and read Acts chapter 7, there was another deacon also. And he stood up and preached the gospel. You know what happened to him? He went to see Jesus. He said, oh, well, don't be afraid, it's just heaven. And he stood up, preached the truth. Wasn't even a pastor, wasn't an evangelist. He just stood up. Hey, who are you? I'm just a deacon assigned to be here. And I was chosen by the church, by the apostles, and I'm just going to speak a good word for the Lord. He did, and it cost him his life. So Philip goes into an area that most Jews would not have gone to. It's called the area of Samaria. He starts preaching the gospel among a people that had been rejected for most all of their lives. He began to preach the gospel, and you know what began to happen? Revival began to take place. Oh, by the way, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, remember when Jesus was ascending up into heaven? And remember just prior to him leaving, he says that he told the apostles the last commission he made was to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria. Why is this such a big deal? He already told them it was going to happen. He already told them that Samaria would be evangelized. Guess who shows up there? A deacon does. Philip goes into Samaria and begins to preach the gospel. People begin to get saved. Man, things are going so good. He thought, man alive, the Holy Spirit of God is moving. We're going to establish a church here. And then you come to verse 26 of chapter 8, and Philip has an encounter of the divine kind. I want you to notice what happened in this encounter. The angel of the Lord, stop. Isn't this the same guy that showed up in Acts 12? You say, who is that? Probably Jesus. Showed up again. And here's what he told Philip. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This sounds to me, this wasn't no beggar. This guy sounds to me, this guy had a little bit of authority to him. And he was returning and sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. When the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, this judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Now listen carefully. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, which was Isaiah, Old Testament, 53, and preached unto him Jesus. Hey, Jesus in the Old Testament. You knew that, didn't you? Here he was, he took it, he says, no, he's speaking of another man. And this man's name is Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, Notice verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, guess who showed up again? The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. Now you say, preacher, what happened there? I don't know. But he came up out of the water. That eunuch went down with the hand in the hands of Philip. He came up and wasn't nothing but the air there. Why? Because the Spirit of God had moved him on. You say, how did he do that? I don't know. You can ask him when you get to heaven. I don't know how he did it. I just know this. You know what Philip had? He had a close encounter of a divine kind. Now listen, sometimes, listen carefully, sometimes these encounters come when everything's going right. Are you with me? I said sometimes they come when everything's going right in life. Hey, can I say it couldn't have been going better for Philip? Man, people are getting saved. Revival's coming. Hey, probably going to get ready to start a church. And you know what? God shows up and moves him to a different location. Now, humanly speaking, we think, that don't make any sense. Why would God do that? Well, may I say, first of all, God knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are in life. He's been following you even before you've been born. Do you know that there's never been a time that you have not existed in the mind of God? You know, he's been tracing, he's been following you. Hey, can I say, you've been on his GPS a long time. You're not lost. God knows exactly where you are. God knew where Philip was. You say, but he was in the middle of a revival. Man, great things were happening. Yep, you're right. And can I tell you, God shows up even when everything's going right. You see, folks, that's the reason you can't always look at that. Why is it that it seems like when everything seems to be going right in life and all of a sudden we hit one little speed bump in the road, all of a sudden we start looking around and we start accusing God. God, why are you upsetting the apple cart? Everything's going right. Well, if God allowed everything to just continue on, you know what? Many of us would steer off the road somewhere. So he has to put a speed bump in the road and say, hey, still got my eye on you. Just want to let you know I'm still here. Just want to let you know that I'm still got my eyes on you. God knows where you are. Hey, Philip was prospering in Samaria, and he sent him down into a desert. You know where he went? He went from prosperity to a desert. Sometimes you walk outside this building, you know what you think you're in? A desert. It's hot. But I just want you to know, you hadn't disappeared off of God's radar. Hey, he'd been locked into you 24-7. He's locked into your life. He knows exactly where you are. May I say number two, he knows exactly what you're doing. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. Can I ask you this? Did he know what Philip was doing? Was Philip winning souls? Was Philip preaching the gospel? Was Philip living a separated, righteous life? Yes, 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 he was. He did everything right. And God says, all right, out. And moved him into a desert place. See, God not only knows where you are, he knows what you're doing. And may I say, God knows what you need. So here's what happened. Simultaneously, Philip's in Samaria where prosperity is going on. The Ethiopians down in the desert were hot. And he's traveling across the desert. So listen, did you notice that God didn't go get the Ethiopian and bring him to Philip? He went to the deacon, he went to the Christian, he went to the believer and brought the believer to the unbeliever. You see? You see, but simultaneously, God knew not only where Philip was, he knew where the Ethiopian eunuch was. He knew he was traveling through the deserts of life. Boy, if you've ever traveled through a desert, you understand there ain't much there, friend. And yet some of us are traveling through that life right now. And there's nothing. The world has offered you nothing. You say, oh, preacher, I'm in the desert. Well, you know what? You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. And so Philip had a close encounter of a divine kind. And he moved him to a desert. God knows what you need. That eunuch needed instruction. Hey, ever picked up your Bible and read it and thought, man, what does that mean? And you listen, this guy didn't even know the Lord. He's reading his Bible. He's doing better than most Christians do. He's reading the Word of God. He wasn't even saved. And he picked up and he's reading the Scriptures in Isaiah 53. And Philip, the deacon, stopped by and said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? You see, not only did God know what Philip needed, he knew what the eunuch needed. And what Philip needed was a change of scenery. But did you notice that after he took care of business in Gaza, that God says, okay, fast forward, and put him back in to where he was and continuing on with his evangelistic ministry? You see, the eunuch needed instruction. He needed counsel. He needed fellowship. He didn't know which way to go. He had to have somebody show him. Hey, I'm just telling you. Peter had a divine encounter. Philip had a divine encounter. Peter's divine encounter resulted in a deliverance from his situation. Philip's divine encounter resulted in him being everything going right, removed and put into a desert place. But you know what? God had a purpose for that because that eunuch needed the Lord. Now let me give you one more. Turn, if you would, to Acts 9. Look at Acts 9, verse 1. I said, Peter had a close encounter of the divine kind. Philip had a close encounter of the divine kind. And may I say to you, in Acts chapter 9, there was a man by the name of Paul that had a close encounter of the divine kind. And Saul, that's Paul, yet breathing out threatenings, verse 1, and slaughter against the disciples, the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, well, hang on just a minute. What was encounter? What did encounter mean? A sudden meeting, right? Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This man's name was Paul. You know what he experienced? He experienced a sudden meeting. Because he was on his way to Damascus to persecute believers. And guess who met him on the way? An encounter of the divine kind. Now, some of you in here will fall into the category of Peter. You're bound to a situation. Preacher, I need deliverance. You're going to need the divine kind. Some of you in here this morning, well, everything's going right in your life. And boy, things are going well. Say, preacher, I'm on top of the world. Well, wonderful. God may be fixing to move you to somewhere else, maybe like a desert. Some of you may be there, but may I say to you, some of you may fall under the category that Paul fell under. He is without Jesus, lost without God in this world. Now listen, folks, Paul thought himself, he mentioned it multiple times in Scripture, he said he was the chiefest of sinners. You know what he said? He called himself many times, he said, ain't nobody done more worse than I have. He said, there's nobody done the wicked things that I have. He said, listen, I've had believers put to death. He said, I've attacked the church. I don't think anybody in here said believers put to death or attacked the church. And Paul said that was him. Yet on his way to Damascus, God says, you know what? I think we're fixing to have a divine encounter. I believe it was the last encounter Paul would ever experience. And God stopped him on the way. A sudden meeting. You see, may I say to you, first of all, that Paul didn't plan on the encounter. You see, the thing about it is some of you may be sitting here this morning, visiting here, and you're wondering, why did I even come here? What am I even doing here? Well, you may not have planned on an encounter, but God wants to have an encounter with you. You see, Paul didn't plan on the encounter. He didn't expect the encounter, but you know what? He got an encounter. And there's a God in heaven that so loves you and cares for your soul that he's not willing that you perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God sent you here by invitation this morning. You know, we have people sometimes just drop in. They just drive by. And they just said, I asked them, I said, how'd you find out about church? Oh, we just drove by. I said, you mean just drove by and drove in? Yeah, we just drove by and drove in. You know what, I think maybe. Now, I've been at this a little while, but I think maybe God might want to have a divine encounter with you over your soul, over your need, over what situations you're in, maybe over your life. See, Paul didn't plan the encounter. He didn't expect the encounter. But Jesus was the one who orchestrated the encounter. And can I say this morning that if you don't know Jesus, did you know he may have orchestrated this encounter with Christ this morning for you? Because you couldn't orchestrate it yourself. So he got you here by invitation of someone. He got you here by a track. He got you here by a church sign or a website or whatever the case may be. He got you here. Why? Because he wants to have a divine encounter with your life. Boy, he stopped Paul on the way. Paul experienced a sudden meeting. May I say, Paul experienced a life-changing meeting. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've ever met Jesus, you never forget it. You will never forget it. You know what? I've forgotten a lot of things in life. I've forgotten a lot of things that I've done. Let me tell you something. For 27 years, I've never forgot my encounter with Jesus Christ. Ever! Why? Because I'm telling you, when I came face to face with the Holy Ghost of God, when I came face to face with my last opportunity, you know what? I was like Paul, and I said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because I am convinced if I'd have turned and walked back down that aisle, I'd be in hell today. You see what God had to do? God had to get me to church by using my 5-year-old daughter to do it. Why? Because he wanted a close encounter of a divine kind. And it was probably my last encounter because it wasn't my first one. But I guarantee you, I felt it would have been my last one if I'd have walked away. I'm here to tell you today that Paul experienced a life-changing meeting. The reason I know that, he acknowledged the Lord. He said, who art thou, Lord? What will thou have me to do? And then God struck him blind for 3 days just as a little kicker. Just to let him know, you ain't got no power. He said, man, you thought you had power over persecuting the church and killing Christians. You ain't got no power. If you got power, Mr. Saul, make yourself see. God blinded him just as a little kicker for 3 days. You see, Paul experienced a life-changing meeting. And may I say to you this morning that if you fall under this category, if you don't know Christ, can I say that today God wants to have an encounter, a sudden meeting with you? God wants to have a life-changing meeting with you? You see, Paul experienced that divine kind of encounter. When's the last time you've had an encounter? If you're a child of God this morning, when's the last time you've had a close encounter of the divine kind with Jesus Christ? When's the last time that you said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? Did you notice, here's Paul, falls on his face, two things he said, Lord, Master, and then he said, what do you want me to do? I've been persecuting the church. What can I do for you now, Lord? What can I do for you? You see, I just want to know, have you had a close encounter of the divine kind that's resulted in a born-again experience with Jesus Christ? Did you know that that's the kind of encounter he wants to have with you this morning if you don't know the Lord? You see, too many of us are stargazing, looking for some UFO in life when we should be expecting an encounter of the divine kind with God. Well, I'm telling you, folks, those days in the 70s, I can remember it like it happened yesterday. It was everywhere. Man, it was things going on, film everywhere, pictures everywhere. It was every single day just about. And people were getting sidetracked. People were even starting UFO hunting clubs, going out looking for them. You know, when you go out looking for something, a lot of times you can find if you look real hard. Man, they were claiming shooting stars were UFOs. I'm just saying to you, you know what? Ain't different than the 70s than it is today. It's just same song, different verse. Problem is, we're out there looking for these unidentified supposed promises and hopes in life that the world seems to offer. Can I say something? Slide all that UFO junk to the side and decide this morning you're going to have an encounter of the divine kind. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I'm going to testify before God Almighty today that I am a born-again child of God. Slip your hand way up high. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father,